Welcome to Business Matters with Amy Smith. Today we have the pleasure of sitting down with Bishop's current mayor, Jose Garcia, who is running for re-election to the City Council. Before we get into that, we'd like to remind you to like and subscribe to our social media channels, especially YouTube, so you don't miss any of our exciting shows this political season. And also, don't forget to check out all of our popular shows on the Eastern Sierra Now podcast network. Right now, we're offering specials for those interested in sponsoring these great shows. Don't miss your chance to advertise your business on the most watched local news and entertainment channel on YouTube, Eastern Sierra Now. Mayor Garcia has been a dedicated figure in the community for over 30 years, working with the Northern Inyo Healthcare District and advocating for affordable housing and cultural inclusion. He's here to discuss his re-election bid, his vision for the future, and how he plans to build on the progress made during his time in office. Let's give a warm welcome to Mayor Jose Garcia. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me here. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great, great. It is such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming into the show today.
It is my pleasure.
We've got so many great questions for you. I think our listeners and our viewers are going to be so interested in some of the information that we'll be talking about today. And I know that I'm excited as well. So if you're ready, you want to just...
I'm ready.
Let's just jump right in
then. Let's do.
Okay, excellent. Mayor Garcia, as you seek re-election, what motivates you to continue serving on the City Council? How does your vision align with Bishop's challenges and the opportunities in the coming years?
Let me start by quoting one of my favorite artists and quotes that I have learned throughout my life. You probably know Pablo Picasso, a famous painter from Spain. Mm-hmm. He once said, "The purpose of life is to find your gift, but the meaning of life is to give it away." So once you find your gift, mm-hmm. it's not yours to keep, it's to give it. Mm-hmm. And when he said give it away, but it means give it back to the world. Don't keep it. Don't take it with you to the grave mm-hmm. and it dies with you. No, let it live for as long as is possible. So when I learned that, Amy, mm-hmm. I noticed that I had spent 10 years of my life giving back my time, my mm-hmm. life, serving people, serving my community, mm-hmm. serving others. And I said, I've been doing that. That is my gift. That is what I want to do. That is mm-hmm. my meaning. That is my purpose. And I noticed also that living in Bishop, I was giving back to the community that welcomed me when I came to Bishop. I came in 1989, not knowing more than three people, but mm-hmm. as soon as I met new people here that made me feel welcome, that made me feel family, they got me involved into volunteering in the community. Mm-hmm. So I have been doing many things for my community, volunteering for so many different organizations, and I see City Council as the best opportunity to support my community, to give back to my community, and to continue working for the benefit of today's community, mm-hmm. but for the future. For my children, grandchildren, and for the next 50 to 100 years. So it is what motivates me to serve my community, to give back, and to make sure that what I can do today is going to serve future generations.
And I think that's such a positive sentiment. And to be able to find yourself in that role, in the role of mayor today, what a better way to give back. I really appreciate that answer. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And rolling into that, let's talk a little bit about leadership. So how do you view leadership in your role on the City Council? And how have your personal and professional experiences prepared you for the ongoing challenges of leading Bishop?
I think a good wine takes time to be ready. So I thought about becoming or running for City Council mm-hmm. around 2013. But at the time, I knew that I wasn't ready. And it was actually a local Superior Court judge who asked me that question. He knew me. He knew everything that I was doing for our community. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Jose, why aren't you on City Council?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I haven't thought about it." But I started thinking about it. And I said, "I don't think I'm ready, but I would love to do that."
Well, can I ask you, what do you think it was that you weren't ready for? Do you know now with hindsight? Or
I wanted to learn more about my community.
I see.
And I'll tell you.
Okay.
For example, in 2013, mm-hmm. I said, okay, if I'm going to be involved in government, I need to know more about government.
Yes.
So I applied for a position at the City Bishop Planning Commission, and I was appointed. Mm-hmm. I served on that commission for 7 years. And I actually had to leave the commission because I got elected to city council in 2020. So I took 7 years before I filed my paperwork for running on election in 2020. Mm-hmm. I took 7 years of my life to prepare for that moment. So I did that. I spent 7 years on the City of Bishop Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. I spent about 3 years on the Bishop Area Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. I was a board member as well.
Wow.
In 2018, I took the Eastern Sierra Leadership Program hosted by the Chamber of Commerce and the City of Bishop. So it was a six-month program that allowed me to learn about most of the non-for-profit organization here in Bishop. And I did advance in my career, in my work, mm-hmm. in the association that I was volunteering for. As a board member, mm-hmm. I became the president from 2013 to 2018. I served as president during 5 years. Uh-huh. So all of that helped me in preparing and in getting ready. Yeah. However, in 2020, I did hesitate a little bit while filing the paperwork for city council. It was the largest endeavor that I had taken in my life.
Uh-huh.
It's not the same being on the board of the Chamber of Commerce and being elected city council, but I did.
And during that moment when you were hesitating, what was it? What was the hesitation about? Was it?
If I don't get elected?
I see.
Yes, it was uh-huh. a little bit of that.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, if I don't file this paperwork, uh-huh. for sure I'm not going to get elected.
You could make that decision right there. I'm not yes. going to turn it in, and then I won't be elected.
Exactly. So, yeah. So I said, yeah. No, I want this. I think I know I can do it,
uh-huh.
and I can do it well. And
yes.
I took the time to prepare myself. I think I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So I did file the paperwork, and mm-hmm. thank to the people that voted for me.
Yeah.
I'm here today.
And congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you filed that paperwork. And I think personally, education and politics is so important because
it is.
I think if we all understand how our community works, it allows everybody to be more a part of it.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you taking the time to prepare yourself.
So how I see leadership, going back to the question, if you mm-hmm. allow me, I spent close to 25 to 28 years in mm-hmm. management.
Mm-hmm.
at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I see my role as leadership as the one that is motivating and building the next generation of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see my role as just telling people what to do because I'm the leader.
I see.
No, I mm-hmm. see my role as the one that is there doing the work
mm-hmm.
and, like I said, supporting the people next to me and behind me.
And you can support them better because you know the jobs that they're doing because you've worked your way up through the ranks.
So. Exactly.
Beautiful.
For example, in my career as a medical interpreter that you mm. may ask me at a
yes,
later point.
I might be following up on that
Then
a little
I'll
bit.
Wait for that question.
No, we can talk about it now if you'd
okay,
like
then.
To. Yeah, let's talk about that. As I was doing my homework about you, I noticed that. And I'd love to know more about that and know how having that position has benefited you in the role of mayor today.
Thank you. Excellent question. As you should know, also, I am a dentist. I graduated as a doctor of dental surgery from mm-hmm. National University of Mexico City.
Uh-huh.
And I practiced for a couple of years in Mexico as a dentist before I moved to the United States. So I have this medical background.
Uh-huh.
And living in Bishop, mm-hmm. in the early 2000s, I think, I met a local woman, a dear friend of mine now. Her name is Catherine Allen.
Mm-hmm.
When she learned that I'm a dentist, she said, why aren't you a medical interpreter here? If you're not a dentist practicing here, why aren't mm-hmm. you a medical interpreter?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I don't know. And I started learning about it.
Uh-huh.
And one day, Memat Hospital, in early 2000, maybe 2003,
mm-hmm.
Even before that, they were looking to hire an interpreter/translator. Just that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I say, I think I can do that.
You almost seem overqualified for that position, well, if I could say.
maybe, but I say, I think I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did apply. Mm-hmm. They asked me to take two or three different tests. I eventually passed them all. Uh-huh. And eventually they offered me the job that I took. And I'm thankful for that opportunity mm-hmm. that the Memo Hospital gave me back then. Mm-hmm. And about 6 months into it, the administration decided to build a full department of interpreter services.
Oh, wow.
And they created the position of supervisor. Mm-hmm. So then I applied for that position. By then, I was already a trained healthcare interpreter, not just somebody that has a medical background and was interpreting because I know medical terminology.
Yes.
No, I took trainings to get there. I learned about the laws that require medical interpreting. Mm-hmm. And I applied for the supervisory position. It was offering to me, and I became the supervisor. I stayed in that role for about 3 or 4 years before I was offered a job here at Northern Indio Hospital, which at the time, the hospital here decided to create that position. And knowing my background, that I have built an interpreter services department from the ground up in mm-hmm. Memath Hospital, they offered me the job. I did apply. And the best interview of my life for a job, mm-hmm. it was that at Northern Indio Hospital.
Oh, wow.
It didn't last more than 3 minutes.
Is that why it was the best? Because it was it was like, you've got the job.
It was everything.
Yeah.
It was everything about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got the job here, and I was able to be the manager of language access, which is also interpreting and translation services, mm-hmm. for 17 years. In which time I had to prepare myself and become a trainer of interpreters. Not only an interpreter and translator, not only a supervisor or a manager, but I became a trainer of interpreters. And I was able to train about 20 or more interpreters at Northern Indio Hospital, mm-hmm. close to 10 interpreters for Southern Indio Hospital, mm-hmm. about 10 interpreters for Toyabe, more than 15 interpreters for Memath Hospital, and I have been a language access consultant for close to 20 years, providing support to hospitals in Colorado Springs, in Kings Canyon in California, and in so many other places. I have presented the program that I developed for interpreters and their training at annual conferences at the state level. Mm-hmm. And I was the president of the Association for Healthcare Interpreters. Mm-hmm. And all of that allowed me to learn how to treat better people, that a leader is the one that serves people, yes. not the one that just tells people what to do.
Well, and when you're in a medical situation and you're interpreting for somebody, they're probably already a bit uneasy because they're not able to speak English. You're interpreting in Spanish, and they're not able to speak English. So I think being in that role, it shows so much compassion and communication. When you're yes. teaching your new interpreters, is that something you touch on? Is there a bedside manner with that position?
Oh, there is absolutely, yes,
yeah.
because we need to know where we're going to be positioning ourselves as interpreters, where we can listen to the patient. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're waking up from a surgery, or
yes.
they're in the ER, uh-huh. or there's a mom having a baby that needs an interpreter.
Yes,
and
yes.
we're there.
You're there with them.
I'm there with.
Wow.
I did help delivering a few babies in my career as a medical interpreter.
Yeah.
And we have to make sure that we are not interfering mm-hmm. with the patient care, mm-hmm. but that mm-hmm. we're able to support communication. Uh-huh. Our role as medical interpreters is mm-hmm. to support communication. Mm-hmm. It's not to be the person in between, and that everything the patient is saying, mm-hmm. I repeat it as if I am the patient.
I see.
Yes.
And giving them
same thing
support.
What the doctors and medical providers say mm-hmm. is as they are saying it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a story, for example. One day I'm interpreting for a female mm-hmm. Provider mm-hmm. and a female patient. Mm-hmm. And the female patient tells the provider, I love your earrings. So I have to make sure as a male interpreter there, that it's not me saying that. So I'm telling the provider, Your patient is telling you that she loves your earrings.
Oh.
Not me. Uh-huh. Otherwise,
your compliment, yes.
Yes. It could have been taken wrong.
I can see how that could get complicated in general conversation as you're going between two languages.
Could. Yes, yeah. But I have also interpreted for situation when babies or grandparents die, and they're very emotional situation. Mm-hmm. So we do prepare for that, and we do train our interpreters to be ready for that. Mm-hmm. One can never be ready for everything, but the more that you learn, the more that you prepare for, the better you're going to be able to provide that service.
I believe in being prepared for an emergency, and then you can just not think about that emergency or that issue that may, because you've prepared, you're ready for it. And then you can move on to more pressing things.
Exactly. So all of that, like I was saying, has allowed me to grow as a person, as an interpreter, as a manager, as a leader. Mm-hmm. When I apply for a job, I say, they ask me what type of manager you are. I say, I'm not a manager because you manage programs. You don't manage people.
Yeah.
You lead people. Mm-hmm. You're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Only managers that micromanage or leaders that micromanage their people, they're managers. They're not leaders.
Correct.
You have to allow people to do their job. You hire a person to do a job and let them do the job.
And you need to inspire them to do their job and give them the tools and the education and what they need to be successful. With my background, I have a smaller background in management. That was always the key, finding out what motivated those individuals and presenting that as their motivation and helping them reach their goals within whatever task it was that they were completing.
And you learned that every person in your team is different and needs different type of motivation.
Yeah, just like having children, I have two, and you cannot use the same parenting with one child that you can with the other.
No.
They came into the world completely different. Mayor Garcia, let's take a break here. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with some great conversation. Welcome back, everybody. I'm so excited that you're here while we continue our conversation with Mayor Jose Garcia. Thank you so much for your time. You've shared so much information with me, and I really want to move into something that's very present, very important within our community, and that is affordable housing. So affordable housing remains a critical issue in Bishop, especially with the geographic constraints. How do you plan to balance development while preserving the city's unique character? What new initiatives do you see as feasible, particularly in collaboration with entities like LADWP?
Well, thank you for the question, Amy. It's a wonderful question. And speaking of the subject, October 2nd, there will be a Bishop City Council Candidates Forum hosted by Angel 350, October 2nd. So, and that is one of the subjects that is going to come up during that discussion. So I would like to invite the public to come to the forum and hear not only from me, but from everybody that is running for city council on that particular subject. And speaking of that, affordable housing, I think let's define affordable housing. What is affordable? Because for our small city, I think affordable housing, it's a very complicated topic that involves the lack of or not a lot of land for development. And that has to do with Bishop's history. When Bishop was founded, the DWP own a lot of land within the city limits and outside the city limits. Mm-hmm. And historically, LADWP doesn't want to let go of that land because of the water rights. So even today, the city of Bishop, when we want to acquire a piece of land from DWP, the last time we did it, it took us almost 11 years of paperwork to get that property. And because the city of Bishop, with a small tax base, we don't have the staff to begin with for applying for grant funding for affordable housing. And we don't have the resources to build a big complex like in Mehmet. So we have to partner with private developers. So when the Cedar Bishop acquired that property in early 2019, 2020, the city sold it to a developer for what it's called the Silver Peaks Project.
I see.
That is supposed to be housing, including affordable housing, mm-hmm. not only affordable housing, but including. Mm-hmm. But but because affordable housing, it's very expensive in the state of California. Mm-hmm. When you are building for affordable housing, whether it's for rent, lease, or buy, the price is supposed to be low. But in order to do that, you need funding from the state or from the federal government or from other entities.
Especially with construction costs today, because how can it be affordable when the construction costs just keep increasing?
Keeps going up.
Increasing.
Especially over the last 4 years since COVID.
Yes.
And the lack of labor force as well, too.
Yes.
There's a shortage in every trade. Mm-hmm. So when there is not funding to build that project, the project doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that's what happened in Bishop right now. We have the land, mm-hmm. but the developer hasn't been able to get the funding to build anything for 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's a very important issue because we know we need affordable housing in our community. Mm-hmm. In fact, we need all housing at all levels. But we don't have the land to develop it. So what we did at the City of Bishop a couple of years ago, we approved the mixed-use overlay zone for the downtown Bishop. Mm-hmm. What that means is that you can combine commercial and residential. You can have commercial at the ground level and residential up to 3 levels on top. And we have some projects like that coming up.
Oh, that's great.
So that's very exciting. Uh-huh. We are able to add housing, not necessarily affordable housing, uh-huh. but housing mm-hmm. to our area, which...
I appreciate you giving me information on building higher. That certainly allows more people to come in. You've got your businesses below and then your residents up top. That's beautiful. And I love that city living too. I have a question for you, and this is something that I've seen in Mammoth, and that is additional housing units or ADU. Is Bishop entertaining ADUs here, say a mother-in-law quarters above a garage or anything like that on existing properties?
Excellent added question or follow-up question. Uh-huh. But before I answer that question, mm-hmm. let me add to the previous mm-hmm. that we want to keep Bishop growing, but at the same time, we know that we need to be careful on its looks.
Yes.
And because there is not room to grow sideways, the only way to grow is up.
Yes.
Yes. As far as ADUs, we do allow that. Mm-hmm. We did approve recently that you can add another unit, the mother-in-law quarters or the ADUs. Mm-hmm. And we are in process of working with the County of Inyo to have pre-made plans that you can use to build an ADU. Huh. So you don't have to spend on engineering, architecture, in developing those plans for you. You can select from, I believe, 3 different styles or mm-hmm. models mm-hmm. and pick the one you like or the one that fits in your property, and you can build that additional unit.
That is fascinating. I know engineering cost and architect, that can be a huge percentage of that investment into an ADU. So you can just go in and pick from several plans.
Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Definitely. And mm-hmm. we have recently added some units in Bishop in that model, the ADU.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful idea. Are people taking advantage of that now?
Some people are, yes,
Are they being built now?
Yes.
That's great. Good.
Yeah.
And even as populations age, there may not be care for seniors. This is a great place to keep mom or dad close, not only
exactly.
as a possible income source for the homeowner, but also a place to have family members living close by them and not necessarily under the roof.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
That is valuable information. I'm going to be tuning in or watching the meeting. Can you tell me again when that is and where that will be?
The candidates forum. It's October 2nd at 6:30 p.m. at the Methodist Church here in Bishop.
Great. I look forward to hearing more from you there.
It's going to be an exciting meeting.
Yeah. It's great to hear everyone addressing these issues and these concerns, especially with affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's move on to fiscal responsibility. Sometimes you could see those hand in hand, but let's talk a little bit more about that. You've highlighted fiscal responsibility as a key priority. If reelected, what strategies will you implement to balance Bishop's budget while ensuring the necessary services and improvements? And are there areas in the budget where you see room for effective cost cutting without raising taxes?
Well, no. We don't want to cut any services, and technically there is no place in our budget that we can reduce expenses. Mm-hmm. And we're able to have a balanced budget for the last 3 years, 4 years that I've been on council. Recently, we hired a very intelligent young man for our finance director that it's keeping us well informed of our income and expenses, for putting it in simple terms, our revenue and expenses, our labor cost, which is the highest of our budget. Labor is very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. I wish we had more funding to do more, provide more services, like build more sidewalks. My dream is that every street within our city has a sidewalk, and that people do not have to walk in the middle of the street. It's a public issue, but Bishop was built slowly over time, and a lot of times sidewalks were not planned of that construction. And many of our streets have been like that forever, decades. But I hope that one day we have a sidewalk. So I wish we had more funding to do that, that we have more funding to take care of our streets, our roads, to provide more services for our people, for our students, for our community. We do have a balanced budget, and we do have some reserves. But, for example, to build a sidewalk, it's so expensive that if we want to save money, like at home, you want to plan a trip.
Yes.
A family trip. And you start saving because you say, in 6 months, in a year, we're going to take a trip to a destination. So you start saving. And yes, you slowly buy your tickets and book your hotel, and you're ready. And typically, the cost is not going to increase. But in construction and in many other areas, cost goes up tremendously. So if we plan to build a sidewalk in 2 years, the cost is going to be probably double. So we can't really plan to do things like that. We are planning on, for example, replacing the main water line on West Line Street from Home Street to Main Street. And that is going to cost, in total, probably $2.2, $2.3 million, which we do not have. We were not prepared. We didn't have the time to save to pay for that. But we have to do it. So what we're doing is waiting a 40-year loan in order to get this project done, because we have to get it done.
There's not another choice at this point.
There's no choices. Mm-hmm. So having a small tax base with a very reduced budget, our city of Bishop budget, it's about $11 million. Mm-hmm. And we do not have, like I said, the resources to do more that we all five council members, we wish we could do more, but we can't. So we have to be careful. And we have implemented a strategic planning that allows us to plan our budget, not only for the next fiscal year, for the next 3 to 5 years. So we are forecasting where we are going to be in income and expenses and our capital improvement as well. Mm-hmm. We are saving for that. Mm-hmm. But things like this that come up that we have to do that we don't have or we haven't planned for, we get these loans. Yeah. We know that we need to buy a new fire ladder truck. That is at least $1 million, more than $1 million. But let's say just $1 million.
Sure.
our idea was to borrow that money mm-hmm. at a low interest rate and pay it over time in 5 to 10 years because mm-hmm. we know we can pay it. Mm-hmm. But if we decided to save for 5 years, to buy that truck in 5 years it's going to be $1.5 million or $2 million. So we have to take those measures and go that way in borrowing money, knowing that we can pay it. That's important thing. Knowing that we can pay it mm-hmm. and still have a balanced budget, being fiscally responsible, but taking care of our needs, our community needs.
And that is always the consideration. Do you buy it now and pay for it later at today's prices, as you said, or wait 5 years? And that's very true about the cost of construction equipment. Copper will cost one amount today. I know I'm in the contractor world. It will cost $1 amount today. And then mm-hmm. tomorrow it could be triple that.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to budget even in weeks, let mm-hmm. alone years, when you're talking about new construction.
Yes.
So thank you for that. And that's a lot of responsibility for the city on a very small budget.
It is.
So looking ahead, what do you see as the biggest challenge Bishop will face in the next 5 years? And how does your campaign propose to address it? How do your relationships with state agencies and organizations like LADWP help advance Bishop's development needs?
We need to realize that we are not in this world alone and that we depend on each other. Some people depend on us, and we depend on others. We need to keep and enhance, let me say it that way, the relationship that we have with organizations like LADWP, with Caltrans, with Edison, with the state of California, with the county of Angel, with Mono County. We need to strengthen those relationships because if we work in all of these issues together, we're going to have better results for our community. Mm-hmm. So we need to work together on issues like sewer, mm-hmm. like affordable housing, mm-hmm. like economic development. My campaign, the way that I'm approaching this, is that we need to work together. The city of Bishop by its own and a council member by its own cannot fix or solve any of the issues that we're facing today mm-hmm. or in the next 5 years. So, and like I said, we're budgeting for the next 3 to 5 years, but our plan, everything we're doing at the city, it's at the city council level, is for the next several decades. Uh-huh. We're not just thinking for tomorrow or the next year, mm-hmm. but what is in Bishop's best interest for the next 30, 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to have sidewalks, that we have in at least in the next 20 years, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. in 2 months or in 2 years.
Yes.
But let's be realistic. Let's say 20 years.
Yes. And it's good to know in 20 years where a sidewalk will be, because then that land is set aside for that particular use. And when you get there, you can accomplish that goal. I think it is fascinating if you can get all of those entities to focus on the same goal. I think the strength in that would be unmatched with anything that I've seen on a community level. So mm-hmm. I wish you the best of luck with that. I'll look forward to seeing how that comes into fruition over the next several years or decades, as
thank
you
very
mentioned.
Much.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Let's move on to your personal journey mm-hmm. and leadership. Your journey from a trained dentist, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, in Mexico to a leader in Bishop's healthcare and city government, it's remarkable.
Thank you.
It was so fascinating to hear that from you. How have your personal experiences, including your work as a medical interpreter, shaped your leadership style and your approach to policymaking?
Like I was saying earlier, I think that everything that I have done as far as work, as far as studying, has prepared me to the person that I am today. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that I'm perfect or that I am the best person in the world. I am human. I make mistakes. I have made mistakes throughout my life. But I have learned from my mistakes, and I want to be a better person today than I was yesterday. And that's one of my goals. And that's one of my goals that I apply to leadership and my professional life. Mm-hmm. And that's a goal that I like to apply on my public service on city council. That today I'm a better council member than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that decisions that I make are in the best interest for the city of Bishop, not for me as an individual, mm-hmm. not for somebody else, but for the general public, for the community in general. Mm-hmm. It has been a fascinating trip. everything that I have done, I look back. One of the dreams, one of my goals, mm-hmm. is to write a book.
Oh, wow.
About those uh-huh. stories going from a uh-huh. from an immigrant, mm-hmm. A dentist in Mexico, mm-hmm. Recently to where I am today, to uh-huh. being the first Hispanic council member elected in 117 years of Bishop's history. Our city was founded in 1903. In 2020. I was elected the first Hispanic council member, mm-hmm. and now in 24, I am the first Hispanic mayor uh-huh. in the bishop's history. It's very humbling. It's a privilege for me. It's an honor mm-hmm. that I take seriously, that I use to represent our community. Now that I am the best person in that lives in Bishop, but that I like to be someone that can represent our community.
I'm very impressed by your journey. If you could go back to yourself as you were immigrating to the U.S. and as you were coming to Bishop, and you could give yourself advice, what would it be that you would say to that person those just few years ago oh, when wow. you had started that journey?
I think I'll tell myself to stay focused on mm-hmm. on and to be humble and there are things that I wish I have done differently, mm-hmm. but I will not change anything because everything that I have done in my life, and I mean everything, has prepared me to the person that I am today.
And led you to this spot.
And led me to this spot mm-hmm. and to motivate me mm-hmm. to do more uh-huh. for my community. Uh-huh. Everything that I'm doing, it's not because I am making more money. No, because I am not. jokingly, when I was elected mayor, I say, I'm not getting a vehicle, I'm not getting a house, I'm not getting security, I'm not getting anything.
Yes.
No, but it is an honor to be the mayor.
And as you mentioned earlier, that passion to give back, that's yeah. really within you, and you're getting that from mm-hmm. this position.
Yeah, it's something... During the words that I shared last December when I was elected mayor, mm-hmm. I talked about my ancestors and how serving, public service, it's in my genes.
Oh.
From my grandfather to my father mm-hmm. and some other relatives that I have in public service. And, mm-hmm. and it's something that I guess it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. At one point in my life, I was going to do it, and I am blessed and happy that it is in this time.
And you were inspired by those individuals in your family to come into this position. So I bet they're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I hope so.
I'm sure that they are. Let's take this moment to talk to our sponsors, and then there's more questions that I'd like to continue if you have
Please.
More time for
of
us.
Of course I do. Oh,
perfect. All right. Yes. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Once upon a time, the world relied heavily on fossil fuels to power its cities and cars. Corporations controlled these fuels and sold them at high costs. Though these fuels were powerful, they were polluting the air, making the skies gray and the rivers murky. People worried about the Earth and their future. Then, one day, a group of wise and powerful wizards gathered from all corners of the globe. They worked together to harness the power of the sun, capturing its radiant energy in magical crystals. These wizards bestowed these sun crystals to the people, teaching them how to use the sun's endless light to power their homes and vehicles. As the people embraced this bright new gift, rooftops sparkled with the wizards' magical crystals, and cars began to hum gently, driven by sunlight. The skies cleared, the rivers sparkled, and the air became fresh again. The world thrived under the warm glow of the sun, and everyone lived happily ever after because, as the good wizard showed them, the power to change the world was within each of our grasp the whole time. Here's to a happy and green ever after from your friends at High Point Solar and Electric.
Welcome back, everybody, as we continue our conversation with Mayor Jose Garcia. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for taking some more of my questions. And let's go ahead and jump back into some final questions.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about community involvement and representation. You've been deeply involved in organizations like the Inyo Council for the Arts, the Bishop Area Chamber of Commerce. How have these commitments influenced your vision for Bishop's future? And after your success with creating the Latino Village at the Mill Pond Music Festival, what's the next big opportunity for greater inclusion and representation for the Latino community?
Well, I believe being on City Council, it's a role that we have to play in representing our community, not only with other, I was going to say politicians, but it's just not with senators and representatives and the governor and things like that, but here in our community. Mm-hmm. There are many activities happening in our community that it is a positive, is seen positively when we public officials are there supporting this event, supporting our community. For example, when the Ventura County Motorcycle Club comes to Bishop, they've been coming to Bishop for many, many years.
I didn't know that.
And they enjoy when we elected officials are there welcoming them. And I go and serve them dinner, and I talk to them. Mm-hmm. Same thing for people that come fishing and other activities. Mm-hmm. So I see my role as city council member as that representing my community, not only with our local organizations, with our locals people, mm-hmm. but with the people that come to visit us. Because all of these people coming means revenue to our businesses.
And tourism dollars.
And tourism means employment for our local people.
Yes.
Means tax revenue to the city. Uh-huh. And the more people enjoy coming back to Bishop, mm-hmm. the longer they're going to keep coming back.
Yes.
So that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I have taken it as my goal mm-hmm. to be representing our city locally and, of course, at a regional, state, and national level. Mm-hmm. Being on the Inyo Council for the Arts, I had the opportunity to work with Lynn Cooper at the time, mm-hmm. who was all excited about having a Native American village and a Hispanic or Latino village. Mm-hmm. And I was able to work with the Latino Club, high school Latino Club mm-hmm. at the time, mm-hmm. and we all volunteer and we all put together a village where we teach children on how to make piñatas and how to and play with toys typical from our culture, Hispanic culture. Mm-hmm. So that was something I truly enjoy. Mm-hmm. I left the Council for the Arts because of my commitment at work. But I wish it had stayed.
Yeah.
With the Chamber of Commerce, it allowed me to learn more about the businesses mm-hmm. and represent our community. Mm-hmm. And now that I am not a board member, but I a council member, I still go to the board meetings. I still mm-hmm. go to the ribbon cutting ceremonies for some of the local businesses that mm-hmm. joined the chamber mm-hmm. because I want these new businesses to feel welcome. Mm-hmm. It's not... we public officials, elected officials, we need to be there supporting them as well.
Yeah.
So I enjoy all of that. That I see as one of my roles. And all of that prepared me to be a better public service.
Yeah. And I know for me, living in this area, I chose to live here. Mm-hmm. And I chose to live here because of the natural beauty. The people are what keep me here. And having someone in the level of government as yourself going out to community, new community members possibly, or visitors or tourists welcoming them, I think that holds a lot of weight. And I think it's a very valuable thing that you do.
It is. Thank you so much. It's something that I enjoy very much. Yeah. And the part of the lighter part of the question was, what's the next thing
after
the Latino Village?
Yes, I want to know what you're up to. You've done so much so far.
Well, and I'm glad I remember that part because I want to talk about the event happening this weekend here in Bishop, okay. Saturday. Mm-hmm. There is an organization nationwide called the Hispanic Access Foundation. For the last 10 to 12 years, they have hosted what is called Latino Conservation Week, mm-hmm. a week long dedicated throughout the country to have events to promote Latino use of the outdoor and recreation mm-hmm. and stewardship of the land and all mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. So here in Bishop, Luis Medina, mm-hmm. For the last 2 to 3 years, has been organizing a Latino Conservation Week. He invites many organizations that are in that field mm-hmm. of conservation, mm-hmm. like Forest Service, like Dead Valley, mm-hmm. like many other organizations, mm-hmm. BLM, and including others that are not necessarily in the area, but like Cerro Coso Community College,
sure.
to bring information about the Latino community. Mm-hmm. So something else is the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. It's a month long dedicated in the country for the last 30 years or so to celebrate Hispanic heritage. So last year, I asked the city of Bishop to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. And we had a small celebration. Mm-hmm. But this year, we went big. Oh. And I mean big. I'll tell you more about it. But we were also able to have Luis Medina and the Latino Conservation Week join the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration. Mm-hmm. So we are going to have two celebrations happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that will be this Saturday, September 14th, from 4 to 8 p.m. Behind City Hall on Church Street.
Okay, and the public is welcome. Everyone's
it's a
welcome
free
to join.
Family event. The uh-huh. whole public is invited uh-huh. to attend. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what I mean when we say we went big. By having these both joint celebrations, we are going to have around 30 different organizations bringing information and resources available to the community in English and Spanish. Mm-hmm. There is a whole list of all of these organizations coming in the city's website. And there is about 10 sponsors, 10 different organizations and businesses local that are sponsoring the entertainment. So the entertainment is two international bands mm-hmm. Will be playing total about 3 hours of music, about an hour and a half each one. Yeah. And it will be very fun. Like I said, they are internationally known wow. bands coming to play in Bishop.
It's amazing that you can bring that level of talent here to our small community. I'm impressed with that.
Thank you. We are lucky that one of the individuals that I invited to organize the event, mm-hmm. it's a music promoter. Ah. So he has the contacts with their uh-huh. these group's managers, mm-hmm. and he's able to bring them at a fraction of what they will normally be charging for an hour and a half yeah. of performance. But because we were not planned for that expense, mm-hmm. we ask for sponsors, and we're lucky that some of our local businesses and organizations, uh-huh. excuse me, mm-hmm. like the Bishop Rotary Clubs, like the Lions Clubs, mm-hmm. They donated mm-hmm. To help us pay for this event. So for the second time in Bishop, we're going to have this Hispanic Heritage Month celebration uh-huh. that I hope that it continues
yeah.
every year. Mm-hmm. And that's, we went from the Latino Village at Milpan maybe 10 years ago or so.
Yes.
To now have a nice celebration to celebrate heritage of 30% of the people that live in Bishop within the city limits, Hispanics. Mm-hmm. So It's good that we have this.
And I see a theme within the way that you communicate, the way that you manage, and that is getting a group of people, or a group of businesses in this case, focused on the same goal and bringing that type of entertainment. So let's shift gears for a moment, and let's talk a little bit about polarization and about community unity. In today's political climate, let's shift gears and let's talk a little bit about polarization and community unity. In today's political climate, many communities faced increased polarization. How do you foster unity in Bishop, especially during contentious decisions like tax measures or public safety reforms?
Well, thank you for the question, Amy. Yes, I think it's very important that we all, public servants, that all candidates for city council and for any public office, that we are conscious and that we do not get into dividing our community, especially since we're a very small community. Yes, we see contentions, issues at the national level, at the state level, especially coming up to an election time. One of my dear friends in MEMAT, a council member, said, this is mental illness season, because you have to be crazy. And even if you're not crazy running for an office, just by listening to the news in everything that is taking place during this time, it just drives you crazy. Sometimes you have to turn off the news and don't listen to anything for your own sanity. But we have to remember that we are alone in this planet, that we are a country, that we're a state, and that we're a very small city, that we need to get along. We chose to live here. We want to be here, and we should be getting along. Yeah. It's better that instead of being fighting against each other. We should not be doing that. And there are issues, and there is people that locally, at the regional level, state level, national level, are trying to divide us, but we should not fall into that. We should stay together. And the way, it's very easy to do that. If we agree to disagree, if we respect each other, even after disagreeing on the subject, you can say yes, I can say no, but we respect each other. Well, we treat each other with dignity and respect. We get along, and we can maintain that peace that we need, that we want, not only for us individually, but for our community, and keep our community united and strong.
And that's what I love so much about Bishop. And politically, I like to think locally, and I like to stay within my local community and really put my energy there. And sometimes globally, I'll turn the politics off as well and focus on what's really happening here and our neighbors and our friends. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
You've expressed concerns about legalizing marijuana dispensaries in Bishop. How do you balance your personal views with the potential economic benefits and community opinions when tackling divisive issues like that?
Thank you for the question. And it reminds me of the time where we were talking about marijuana, growing marijuana when I was at the Planning Commission and the dispensaries being on City Council. My position is this. Before we started talking about dispensaries within the City of Bishop, the City of Bishop was not prepared for any type of business like this. We didn't have any regulations in place, any limits, any conditions. So if we were to receive an application for a dispensary at the time, we would not be able to control anything because we had no policies in place. So we needed to have those in place because we knew that was coming to Bishop. We had dispensaries around the City of Bishop, within Ninjo County, within Mono County, and it was eventually that it was going to happen within the city limits. So we decided to be proactive, to tackle the issue. We knew it was not going to be an easy issue to talk about, and it was divisive. Even the vote to approve the dispensaries, it was not unanimous. It was divided. And we needed to be prepared. Mm-hmm. So even though what I do express concerns about having dispensaries within city limits, mm-hmm. and when I think two, which is the maximum that we can have, it's too many. Mm-hmm. We needed to be prepared. And that's what we did at City Council. We approved those rules allowing businesses to have a dispensary in town. What were the conditions? What was the number of dispensaries allowed? And we wanted that to be prepared.
And those rules have been implemented today? We're under those constraints?
We are.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. In fact, for the last two and a half years have been in place. Mm-hmm. Two dispensaries are now open. I believe one has been open for almost a year already. The mm-hmm. other one's been close to a year. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we needed to be prepared for that. And that's why we have two dispensaries. Like I said, yes, I do have concerns. I have always expressed them. Mm-hmm. But it is in the best interest of the city of Bishop mm-hmm. that we are prepared. Mm-hmm. Are we all going to have two dispensaries forever? It's we have to see that. It's too many. Maybe uh-huh. one too many. Uh-huh. Maybe two too many. Uh-huh. Maybe they will go out of business. Maybe they won't. I don't know. It's going to depend on how they are able to be successful in their business. And it's going to be a business decision for those business owners.
And I think the entire state of California was blindsided by the introduction of legalized marijuana. And I think a lot of communities were on the back foot to catch up to implementing restrictions or guidelines that those businesses had to operate within.
What you say blindsided is that the mm-hmm. state was not prepared. They didn't have those regulations in place.
Yeah, so each
community. They had to develop them real fast. And
yes.
So we did.
Yeah.
So yes, we
yeah.
needed to, yeah. to do that.
Accomplishments and future goals. Let's talk a little bit about that. Reflecting on your time on the City Council, what accomplishments are you most proud of? How do these achievements reflect the direction you want to take Bishop in the future, particularly regarding housing? I think we touched on that. We can bring that back into the conversation. Fiscal responsibility and development, or just anything that you'd like to talk about, because you've accomplished a lot in your time as mayor.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of the accomplishments of the team, not much of my personal accomplishments. I think we are a team. A council member, it's a team, five of us. Mm-hmm. At the City of Bishop, we see it as a team of people working together, not one individual. And at the city level, it's same. It's a community working together. Don't they say that it takes a village to raise a child?
Yes.
So it's something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm thankful and that I have been able to accomplish many of the things that I dreamed of, like being on city council, like being the mayor. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that we have some housing projects going on right now, uh-huh. that in the near future, 12, 18 months, we're going to have more units available for our local residents and a lot more, hopefully, in the next 3 to 5 years with Silver Peaks and other projects. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking to what's in the best interest of Bishop. And we need to work with Caltrans on maintaining our main street, our roads in general, mm-hmm. And a lot of the projects. And one of the things that I think it was a crude reality for me, I knew it, but living it was different, mm-hmm. is that in government, everything takes time. Nothing happens today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. and any project, it takes months or years, and sometimes many years. So we thought that in 23, 24, we were going to have people moving into those 72 units of Silver Peaks project. But it's nothing. We haven't built one unit, and that's because it takes time, unfortunately. We need to build a new sewer plant. and it's going to take at least 10 years to start construction. But we're working on it. And it's very expensive to do that. We happen to need to replace this water line on East Line Street. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, okay, let's start digging tomorrow. Oh, no, you have to do studies. You have to plan. You need financial resources to do all of that. Mm-hmm. So we need to apply for a loan. Maybe in the next 12 months, we'll be getting that done. So it just takes time. And if anyone that wants to be in public service, be prepared and be patient.
Yes, that's good advice. Very good advice.
But I look forward to see some of these projects slowly moving forward and becoming a reality and being done.
Well, and I want to thank you for sitting down and for sharing so much information with me. I look forward to seeing what you do and what your future looks like, as well as everything that's happening in Bishop today.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you again. Yeah, it's truly been my pleasure.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, come back and talk to us again.
I'll come back anytime you invite me.
Anytime we have a subject that we want the people to hear more about, you have a seat here with your name on it, and you're welcome to come and speak to us.
So, thank you.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure.
Mine as well.
Hi, my name is Jose Garcia, and I am running for re-election for Bishop City Council. I take the trust you place in me very seriously, and I take my job very seriously, and I do hope to come with your vote again this November for re-election and continue serving as your Bishop City Council member. Thank you. Quiero darle las gracias a todas las personas que votaron por mí hace 4 años para convertirme en concejal de la ciudad de Bishop. Para mí es un honor el poder representarlos en la ciudad. Así de que espero poder seguirlo representando y que voten por mí este 5 de noviembre y poder continuar siendo su concejal de la ciudad de Bishop. Gracias.
Thank you, Mayor Garcia, for joining us on Business Matters with Amy Smith. It's been a pleasure to hear your insights, learn more about your vision for Bishop's future. We appreciate your dedication to the community and your continued work in public service. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Eastern Sierra Now on YouTube and check out our other exciting shows on the Eastern Sierra Now Podcast Network. Sponsorship opportunities are still available, so if you'd like to advertise your business on the most watched local news and entertainment channel, now's your chance. We'll be back soon with more exciting episodes of Business Matters with Amy Smith, so stay tuned.